I had a kind of a dilemma just at this week because I wanted to celebrate our country's independence, but I also wanted to make sure that it wasn't just about that. Because you know what? There are a lot of people who live in freedoms who are not truly free. Our goal is not to make people socially free, but to help them be spiritually free. That's really what I want to talk about this morning, about what makes us really free. I love this country, and I love God has provided us this haven. And I told you before that this haven for Christianity to grow and flourish. But I will tell you, those times, they may be a change. Don't neglect what this country has offered us in the freedom. Don't just give it away and say it makes sense to give away our freedoms, because they won't stop taking away our freedoms. There will be, if the course continues on, a time when we will not be able to worship the way we want to worship our Lord and our Savior. So we must be diligent. But more importantly, the way we change this country and all the problems that it has is not to give this country more freedoms, the people in it, but to make totally free the people within this country. Give them the freedom that will last them forever. Today's Independence Day in the United States. And with all America's imperfections and contradictions, Independence Day still represents the one thing that all people can celebrate, and that is freedom. Freedom is one of the greatest blessings that we have. Political freedom, from which flows freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, freedom of association, personal freedom to attend the house of worship of my choosing and not to attend at all if I so choose. Freedom to choose my own job, the school that I attend, the freedom to pick your own spouse. But it's impossible to be politically free and to have many personal freedoms and yet still be in bondage greater than any political or personal free bondage. And that is to be in bondage spiritually. Our bondage to sin, to our baser passions. And so conversely, it's also possible to lose all your political and personal freedoms. Yes, it is possible for us to lose all the freedoms that this country gives us and still be free in your spirit. Those people that you just saw, for example of that, they were not free politically. They were not free socially. They were in bondage. They were restricted. But yet Christ had set them free spiritually. And that's what matters today. So what makes us free? The Bible tells us three things that make us free. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Scriptures make us free. Christ makes us free. The phrase, "the truth shall make you free," is kind of a well-known quotation. And everybody, the truth will make you free, will set you free. And we talk about that. But do you realize that was straight from the lips of Jesus? That wasn't a man-made. That was God and Jesus talking. And it's always been true politically. The truth will set us free politically. Nazism and communism and socialism were two political systems at the complete opposite ends of the political spectrum. But both of these systems were built upon lies. and therefore brought bondage and misery to untold hundreds of millions of people. And if you doubt that, if that's not what they're teaching you, have taught you in your history classes, let me in political science classes, you need to find the truth about what these political factions and systems actually brought. They were built on lies. And I could spend days talking to you about those, but I'll go on. Just trust me. They're built on lies. More important, what Jesus said is also true spiritually. The truth shall make you free. Anytime we think that we have a better way than what the Word of God says, anytime we think that we have a better way than what the Word of God says, we submit to enslavement rather than freedom. You catch that? If we think we got a better way than what the Word of God says, then we are actually giving ourselves up to enslavement. As we look across the landscape of America, we see lonely spouses and children, abandoned for another woman or another man in desire to be liberated from the constraints of marriage, imposed by God's Word. You realize that people think that? Their desire for freedom from that marriage often, if not every time, leads to bondage for those that they leave behind. We see people in bondage to homosexuality who long for legitimacy and an affirmation in society. And they're getting it. But this approval just enslaves them to another thing. Pick your sin. We see people in bondage to drugs and alcohol. This is freedom? No. I can do what I want. I can put that stuff in my body if I want to. That's a free country. Yes, you can. But is that real freedom? No, that's bondage. I can give you illustration after illustration of so-called freedoms proclaimed in a secular society by rejecting God's Word. The things that God's Word says you should not do, that it's bad for you to do, the world says, I'm going to do it because I can and I'm free to do it. I am free to do it. But the result, repeatedly, over and over again, is a slavery or a bondage to that thing. Or it causes slavery and bondage. I mean, some of y'all had this struggle. You try to get rid of a bad habit. And so you take up something to get rid of, to take the place of the habit, and then all of a sudden that becomes your bad habit, and then you're not dealing with the problem. You just become enslaved to something different. There's no true freedom there. You see, when a nation honors God's Word, it will be blessed. David said in Psalms 144, he says, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. The Scriptures, the truth, will make you free. God's Word will make you free. Now, the truth that God's truth sets us free is true regarding the matter of salvation, even more so than anything else. Many try to get to heaven by their own self-effort, religion, good works. But God's Word clearly declares that salvation is totally and unequivocally by grace, without any works on our part. This is a God thing. I want you to trying to earn your way to heaven by your good works or by the life that you live or by religion without any work is a terrible form of bondage. Think about it. Can you imagine living a life that knowing that your eternity is based upon your good works? How many times you went to church? How many Hail Marys you said? Your good works is based on your salvation, whether or not you're going to be with God forever and ever, is based upon something that you do. That is not a life. That is not freedom. That is bondage. And you're in bondage to legalism. How many good works must you do? I mean, just ask you a question. How many good works must you do to finally earn God's forgiveness? Where is that point to where I've done this last good work? Now, look, when I earned my, got my master's degrees, he had it all set up. You do this, 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 and this. And then you'll get your degree. And boy, was that list long. But I got it because I knew where to achieve. Where is this mystical point to where you please God enough that He's going to let you into heaven? Well, we don't know because it doesn't say. You know why it doesn't say? Because there's not this mystical point. And by the way, which are the works that count? Which one's the one that counts more? Is there a system to where this is a big one, this is going to be more points than this one? How about, do many small works cancel out the big sins that you committed? You see how ridiculous it gets? Can a big good work cancel out a big sin or many small sins? At what point can I know that God is happy and appeased by it? What if I'm doing the wrong good works or not enough good works? Listen, that's bondage. That's bondage. That's not freedom. It's an endless cycle that gives no hope. It gives no assurance. And if you try to get to God by your own works and religion and goodness instead of by faith in Jesus, you'll go to hell's destruction. And that'll be the worst bondage because there'll be no getting out of there. But if you come the way God says in His Word, by faith in Jesus Christ and His death on the cross for your sins, you can indeed have life everlasting. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you're trying to get to heaven any other way, by what the Bible says, you're in bondage. The only way that you can be free from sin, spiritually free from the bondage of sin, know Jesus Christ as your Savior, except His free gift of grace. There's no greater freedom than you can ever experience in your life than to have all your sins forgiven, cast into the deepest sea, never to be brought against you by a holy God. Now that's freedom. The second thing I want you to see is that the Savior makes us free. In John 8:36. This is similar. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, if the Son, Jesus Christ, if He makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Freedom flows from within the written word and the living word, Jesus Christ. Christ sets people free in many ways. Nicodemus was set free from religious bondage. Remember Nicodemus, John 3? He was trying to be accepted by God through religion and good works. But Jesus told him, "Ye must be born again." And if he'd stopped relying on himself to please God and start relying on Jesus to save him, he could be free. And he says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Zacchaeus, y'all remember the wee little man? Zacchaeus was the, y'all remember that? He was set free from his greed in Luke 19. He was a tax collector under the Roman law. he was allowed to extract just about any fee he could get. In other words, he would just take and gouge people. And he would just pay what the government, what they wanted, and he would keep the rest. In bondage to greed, covetous materialism, Zacchaeus cheated on everyone that he could. But one day he heard that Jesus was coming to town. Apparently he was a short man who couldn't see over his over the crowd, so he climbed into a what kind of tree? Sycamore tree, yes. Everybody's got that in their head. Sycamore tree to see if he could see. Jesus passed by. Jesus walked under the tree and looked up and says, Zacchaeus? He said, hurry up. Come down here for today. I need to stay at your house. And at Zacchaeus' house, Jesus wonderfully saved him so that he was set free from the bondage of covetousness. So free was he that he gave half of his fortune to the poor and promised to pay back anyone he swindled four times what he had cheated them of. So therefore, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. There won't be any doubts. And then there was a woman at the well. And she was set free from moral bondage in John chapter 4. She'd been married several times. And when Jesus met her, she was shacking up with someone. She longed for something deep in her soul, a longing that propelled her from one relationship to another. But it's always leaving her spiritually thirsty and emptiness. Jesus told her about the living water, speaking of himself and his power to meet her deepest needs in a way that no one else could. He told her, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She took Jesus into her heart, and her spiritual thirst was quenched. It was over with. She took of that water, never to thirst again. You see, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If he's made you free, you'll never, ever, ever, ever be shackled with sin, the burden of sin again. Now that doesn't mean you're not going to sin. You won't be in bondage to sin. He has made you free. He said, but Brother Randy, so I'm saved and I can do anything I want to. There's freedom and there's discipline. There's freedom and then there's being under the authority of your parents of some sort. Now you can't do anything you want, but you'll never be under the penalty of sin. You'll never be under the bondage of sin because he set you free. You cannot lose the salvation that he bought for you with his own life. Our political freedom is a gift from God. I believe it with all my heart. You read the writings of the early fathers, the founding fathers, and you'll see that they had this in God in mind when they put this system together. Spiritual freedom is also a gift from God. And it can be yours through faith in Jesus Christ. Won't you see one other thing that makes us free? And that's the Spirit of God that makes us free. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh man, there's so much just in that last phrase. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I could get onto a political rant right now about how this country needs to turn back to God right now. Because if the Spirit of God is with this nation, there is true liberty. But if people have turned their back, if this nation has turned their back on God, the Spirit of God is no longer there, we really don't have the liberty that we think. All through history, you can trace man's desires for religious ceremony and ritualism. You see it in many churches where people find ceremony and ritualism and formality and pomp as a salve or a substitute for the real presence of God. They'll come in and they'll do their rituals and say, I have pleased God with the things that I've done here today. You also see it in churches and denominations that focus on rules that you must keep to be in, and you must stay in a right relationship with God. You also see it in churches that profess to believe in salvation by grace through faith alone, yet think that ongoing fellowship is maintained by adherence to some extra-biblical man-made rules, mainly focused on the outward appearance and external actions of its members. That's called legalism. You can worship God, but you must do it this way. Here's the way we say it to be done. It's not freedom. Sorry. That's not even biblical. Most of the things that we understand about worship and about how to please God is man-made. Think about it. You mark it down. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So the question is the Spirit of the Lord here with us today? It's a good question. You see, Christ came to free us from the law, to free us from this performance-based religion and legalism. That's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. And we know how he thought about the Pharisees and what they were teaching and how they were living and acting. And they were good people. But he says your focus is on what you're doing and not what I've done. And I think in our churches today it's way too often. It's about what we're doing and how we're going to please God with things that we say and things that we do. And brethren, sisters, that is legalism, and we are not trying to do nothing but please each other. That is bondage unto something other than the true liberty of the Spirit of God. What it is. When you have a relationship with the Spirit, living Spirit of God, you step out into this. You step out of empty ritualism into a living, a vital relationship with a living Lord. It's not about coming to church. It's not about singing songs. It's not about listening to a boring message. It is all about you having a personal and living and real relationship with Jesus Christ. His Spirit that dwells within you, that is worship. That is freedom. That is liberty. And it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside in your world. You could be chained and shackled in a dark, dank dungeon, and you'll be as free as any man or woman in this world. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You see, ceremonialism, rules-based religion, and legalistic adherence to the commandments of men become empty and hollow. You begin to thirst for a real, true, living relationship with the living Lord, not appeasement through rules of ceremony. And that is a liberating experience. You see, political freedom makes us free citizens. Spiritual freedom makes us free saints. And it's possible to be seemingly free, but not to be truly free in your heart. So the questions are this. Have you been freed from the lies of Satan that sin and surrender to our fleshly and selfish desires? Is that freedom? The Scripture said the answer. Have you been freed from the lies of Satan? Have you been freed from sin and judgment through a life-changing experience by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? That comes only through the Son. And have you seen the vanity or the charade of religion and ritual and coming into a living relationship with God. You can only do that through the Holy Spirit. So how can you and I truly be free? Well, first we surrender to God's Word. Learn what the Scriptures teach and obey what the Scriptures tell us. Not what men say the Scriptures teach, but what the Scriptures actually teach. Not what I tell you it teaches, but what you understand it to be. Letting the Spirit of God guide you into truth. They'll free you from the bondage of sinful habits, behaviors. And then you need to believe in the Son. Turn from sin, turn from yourself, and trust in Jesus. He is offering you a gift today, if you haven't already accepted it, a freedom. Freedom that you can live your life knowing that no matter what happens in this world today, no matter what happens in this world today, you know what? It is well for you. You'll be with Him forever. And then you need to start walking in the Spirit. You see, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. What are we being bound by? And if you're here today, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, never asking to save your soul, and you get to do whatever you want to in life. Maybe you've got a good life. Maybe everything's going well for you. And you do everything that you possibly want to do in life. And you're saying, I've got a good life. I live in a free country. I can do whatever I want. Go wherever I want. Be whoever I want. You're still not truly free until you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. And then you'll have the liberty, the freedom, that will truly set you free forever. Maybe today, God's speaking to your heart about it. And He's asking you to come into your heart and life, into your heart and life. Would you just say yes to Him today? Maybe you're a saved child of God. And you've been coming to church. You've been doing your thing. And you've been exercising your constitutional right to come to church, to worship any way you choose. But when you come to church, you haven't been worshiping. You've just been following your habits, your rituals, hoping to please God. True freedom in this life and in the life to come is more than following those rules and regulations. About having a genuine relationship with Christ. And maybe, as a saved child of God, your life is being bogged down with sin. Maybe you have forgotten so much, you have so much bogged down with sin that you have forgotten what it's like to live a free life without sin. I remember that day. Let me tell you about that day that we were close. It was on Wednesday night. July 4th, 1973. I knew how to be saved. I struggled with it for a whole year at those pews. I would not go down. And every time the invitation would come, I tried to find an excuse to divert my attention because I didn't want to deal with it anymore. And I dealt with it for almost a whole year. And then we went to church camp for the first time. I'm 13 years old. Wow, you're talking about struggling. Yeah, he was dealing with me big time. Preachers, I'm sorry. Teachers, I'm sorry. I didn't hear a word the preacher said. All I heard was Jesus in my head speaking to me. Spirit calling me. So it's not about our words necessarily, is it? And I remember, I looked up and I saw some of my buddies coming down the aisle and I said, Lord, I give up. I give up. And I did. It was my Independence Day. I gained liberty forever and ever and ever that day. And I'll never, ever forget how the tears flew down my cheeks because the guilt, the sin had been gone. I wish that I could find that feeling again, that understanding of that freedom from sin again. I can just get close sometimes, but I was unburdened, unshackled from the burden of the sin. And God had forgiven everything. Simply because I said yes to Him. On July 4th. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am no longer a servant to this world. But I am now a son and living heir to God Almighty. And in that, I become dependent upon Him. And gaining my independence, I have become dependent upon Him. It does not matter what men, governments will do to me. Only what Christ has done for me. Because I'm free. No matter what shackles this world puts upon me, I've been free. I've been free indeed. Have you? I hope and pray that you, if you haven't, will find that freedom. Because you know, this country today, it's not about laws. It's not really about political systems. It's not about whether the nation's doing good. It's about us reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one by one, by one, by one, them coming to know the freedom that Christ gives. That's real freedom. We give them that, and there could never be another bondage, big person in bondage, real bondage, could there? That's what we must do. That's why we're here. As we prepare for an invitation this morning, it's my prayer that you experience the freedom that only Christ can give. Would you come? So let's stand. You see, it's not about us. It's not about what we've done, what we're going to do, what we said we'd do, about the good deeds that we've done. But it's simply all about what He has done for us. And the gift that He's promised us. So as we see this invitation, you've got to ask yourself, am I free? Or am I truly free? Or am I living in bondage of some sort? The only way that you're going to be totally free is to let Jesus be the center of it.